Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello, the podcast is brought to you by Levi's Solicitors, who will offer you a 10% discount for going through us at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Dan, Michael and Moscow White here on Propaganda. This is the show where we find out what's been said about Leeds United. It's in two parts, both by you and by the opposition fans. If you're on the audio version, don't forget we've got a video version on the YouTube channel and vice versa. In the first half of Propaganda, we will get a take on Leeds fan opinion. These are the thoughts of the TSB Plus subscribers, thank you, who sent us their feedback on the match ball. And this is the stuff that they picked out from Wolves. But before we get to Wolves, we are recording after the Arsenal game. So we've had some 11th hour feedback on that. That's exciting, isn't it? And very contemporary.
What Arsenal game?
Indeed.
Don't remember an Arsenal game. Do you remember an Arsenal game?
The one Mark Viduka scored in.
Yes.
That was good.
Yeah, was
Let's
great
talk
fun.
About that one instead.
Were you in fancy dress in the away end?
It was still a bit tense for fancy dress, wasn't it? Because the looming relegation, which brings us round to this season, I suppose.
Boo. Well, the upside is, I know we're supposed to be talking about the cup, but if we do get a finish to the season like that, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
That's
sometimes
true.
Relegation battle can be a lot of fun.
I fear that people will take that seriously, what you've just said.
I'm not being serious.
You're being unserious, okay. Let's start with the comments of Toby Lerone then, who said, I think you didn't focus enough when looking for positives on the fact that we had the chances in the first half. If James's decision making and our touch had been better, we could have been 2 or 3 goals up easily and we had the better chances.
We just need to sign someone better than Dan James, that's the thing.
Mm.
Simple solution.
Or let him grow into the team and
improve
over time. And hasn't he got, how long is his contract? 5 years.
Four years.
So we might get 3 good months out of him at the end before he gets a free transfer. And no, I mean, you know, he is relatively new. That is,
he's only been here, what, 8 weeks or something?
Yeah, and we know that I think sometimes he does get overblown, the amount of time Bielsa likes players to spend getting used to things. But he's still quite young, he's still quite new.
I think it's possible Bielsa didn't actually mean to play him quite as much as he has by this stage as well, but obviously Rafinha's been out injured and so he's had no option. I mean, he did play at number 9 against Wolves, which is a bit weird.
And Jack Harrison's obviously lost the ability to play football.
Mm.
So there is that. No, I am just joking. I think the reason why on the match ball we weren't maybe swimming in the positives too much is that we'd lost and two of us were also full of horrendous cold and we were all a bit tired.
We still are a bit.
And we are COVID negative. It's just that the common cold, I think, because it was the Carabao Cup as well, it's hard to get that worked up when it's... It felt like an unwelcome distraction, didn't it, almost, when you consider it in the context of having clawed back that point from Wolves in the last minute and thinking, right, we'll go and build on that at Norwich, but instead we've got to go to the Emirates and get told to sit down.
The second half was very draining. It was a little bit like the second half of the very enjoyable Scum Liverpool game, which did take some of the edge off the fun of what had happened up to 5-0. The last half hour of that match was just kind of watching.
It's like a training exercise.
Yeah, and our game kind of got into that because all that really happened after 2-0 was we tried to get into the game a bit and then just made some silly mistakes and never really threatened. So there wasn't anything. If it had been a last half hour of us, you know, getting loads of chances and having a really good goal and you think, oh, you know, we were quite unlucky. But instead, the good things that did happen in the first half were very hard to remember. But there were, I mean, there was nothing really wrong with the first half other than...
Yeah, but you remember how a game finishes, don't you? You don't remember the first half, that's just the nature of it.
But we can now do as Toby advises and say, first half was good, at least as good as Arsenal were in that match. And we had the chances. There was the Dan James running through. There was one where Tyler Roberts cut back and his shot got deflected out wide. And that's two.
Yeah. Well, let's leave it at that. Let me just come in with Lonnie's comments because it's something we touched on last night on the Match Ball. The subs, it's no coincidence that the subs changed the pattern of that game, and that's when it all completely got away from us, and pre-planned subs and giving people a certain amount of minutes. That's all with a view to the Premier League and managing the time that they're on the field, isn't it? Long and short of it. If that is a Premier League game, they probably wouldn't have done the same thing. So that sort of shows how it works out in the estimation of things, isn't it? In the ranking, in the order, the priorities. So he does point out, does Lorne, he says, look, we look fairly decent in the first half, but the pre-planned subs change the flow of it. Let's instead go in on, I mean, we don't like to talk about Lee. When Leeds aren't great, it's not that fun to go in on Leeds, is it? Let's talk about Lee Hendry, who we did mention last night in the post-match. Philip does point out that he was maybe somewhat lacking in intelligence, in Philip's opinion, in the commentary, asking just how stupid is Lee Hendry? Was he being fed lines by a guide dog?
I mean, he did very astutely pick up on the fact that they were targeting the debutant at fullback, which was good. I mean, I didn't actually notice him standing out as being any worse than a lot of pundits. I suppose he was. He seemed fairly to play it fairly safe most of the time, which is kind of
he's a League Cup pundit.
It feels like a welcome change from like a hot take, some ridiculous opinion that someone is just going to say, I'm going to have something strong to say on this, even though I've not watched any games.
Yeah, and the other side of this is like it's quite hard doing live stuff. You know, it's not the easiest.
If you saw our effortless performance on the Match Ball afterwards, how could you possibly say it?
It's true. Like, you know, there's a game,
coughing and spluttering our way through it.
Yeah, but there's a game flowing, and then a statistic pops up on screen and showing that they're targeting Drama. What's he going to do apart from comment on it? Even though he did sound a bit thick.
As we'll come on to soon, the Midlands accent doesn't do people any favours in that regard either.
It's funny, I was at a wedding on Monday and we were just west of Birmingham, just over towards Shropshire, but the couple live in Birmingham. I've enjoyed a lot of Midlands accents over the last 72 hours.
I do.
Yeah, they did. Yes.
We want to be together.
Etc. Right, what else have we got then? Anything else from Arsenal, or was it all kind of said and done last night?
I mean, the one thing of the second half is that as much as they did score two goals and we were rubbish, they didn't actually carve us open particularly. The goals they scored were mistakes on our part. I mean, the Melier one is, I guess we've let him have the header from the corner in the first place, but if he stood in front of his line, he saves it. And then the Cooper one is just,
And it's the same with the Wolves goal. Just came from a badly defended set piece, and Bielsa did one of his...
Wolves didn't come from a badly defended set piece?
Yes, it did.
Well, they broke down the right and beat Jackie and crossed it.
It was a set piece. It was a free kick in their half.
They
booted into the corner. What's his face gets around Harrison and puts it in the box. It's a
that
set piece.
That doesn't feel like a set piece to me.
Well, what the fuck else is this?
Well, a set piece is, I think of defending set pieces when you put one into the box and struggle to defend it.
Via the wing.
Yeah, but they've passed it first. That becomes a normal game once they've passed it to the wing.
But it's not a normal game situation because everybody's back defending the free kick.
How far back do you have to go for it to count as a set piece?
One kick. We but it kicked wasn't one it to kick, the wing and he crossed it.
Because there was a kick. A dribble, a cross, right. A shot that was blocked, and then a follow-up.
Do you know what?
There
was only one
net.
Player touched it.
I agree with you both.
There was only one player touched it. Take the free kick, and he goes to, and I wish I could remember his name, and he has the
Semedo,
ball.
Nelson Semedo.
And then he goes into the box, and it's a goal. He passes it across the box, and it's a goal. There's nothing else happens. There's a blocked shot first. Yeah, after he's put it in.
Let's talk about something less contentious like Tyler Roberts.
At what point on the corner? The corner's played and it gets flicked on. Oh, it's not a set piece anymore because somebody's touched it.
But no, because that's part of a routine anyway.
This was part of a routine. It was pre-planned by Wolves. Anyway.
Get in touch. Was it a set piece or not?
Everybody will tell you that was a set piece
goal.
Bielsa did this a little while ago where he does a breakdown of all the goals that we've conceded and why he's not worried and pointed out that I can't remember his time frame because I can't remember exactly when he did it, but he only had one goal that we conceded on the counter, and it was Southampton, wasn't it? So it was after the Southampton game. It says, apart from that, so the worry about us being, you know, really open defensively and teams carving through us, he was like, well, we've only conceded one goal from those situations. Everything else is like the Wolves game and the two last night, where whether the Wolves one was a set piece or not, it was definitely Harrison made a mess of the defending of it, and then Cooper couldn't get across in time. So it was... the way you solve it, and that's what Bielsa's thing is like, can you identify the solution? And the solution against Arsenal last night is, Liam, don't head the ball like that. And then we don't concede that goal. So it's kind of, on the one hand, you can take that as a huge morale lifting positive. It's like, all we have to do is not head the ball like that. But then also it's really, really frustrating because it's like, if you just don't head the ball like that, and then we might actually win a football match.
Should we move on to Wolves? Because that was a happier outcome. And it does feel like the wind has been taken out of our sails a little bit due to the events of Arsenal last night. But yeah, I mean, Toby Lerone is right at the top of the comments here as well. It was happy with a big turnaround. Do you feel like it was a turning point? Because that's been identified by a number of people. We've had Toby, Boney M have been in touch. Finger Mouse, Moscow's love child. That's two separate people. Pete, and then you've got Ralph, who's Phil and Moscow's West End friend. Bob McMayday. It feels like not all these names are real. Marvin and Adsham have all been in touch. Just on that, it felt to me like it was a turning point. It felt like a moment with a capital M. Did that like goal? What do you reckon?
Did at the time, but we've realised we're crap again.
We're not crap.
We're not
crap again. No, I don't think we are. I've brushed off last night's game and like, well, never mind. Whereas like I've been properly devastated at times, unnecessarily so.
Momentum is momentum, but then you compare the lineups and it's a bit like, it's not quite on the level of losing in the JPT with the under-21s, but it's close to just, look, it's just a cup and we still have the league momentum. So don't be so down.
I mean, speaking of people being down, Joe, because we
went about your wife again.
We send out the
said absolutely sick of your negativity.
We send out the feedback form before, and Joe submitted it before the game.
That is a brave move.
As I bet I can predict the talking points. Another loss. Nope. Where was the midfield?
Wrong. You're a fool, Joe.
Only partially. Roberts is terrible. No, Moscow said he was great. And what was Cooper doing? Cooper had his best game of the season. Now, if he'd have been talking about the Arsenal game, he would have been absolutely spot on. But he wasn't. So he was only half right, was Joe.
Why don't we listen to Marvin, who is asking which European Cup we can still realistically qualify for now that we're amazing again?
That's the Anglo-Italian, is it that one?
We could sneak the Conference League, couldn't we?
Inter Toto.
Genoa away on a Tuesday or something, it'd be great though.
Yeah, absolutely.
A Scaravi derby.
Brilliant. But there was plenty, loads of people dead happy with what happened with the ending at Wolves. People, you know, not like ignoring our shortcomings.
You went very high then.
I did. It's just my voice is knackered.
Yeah, I think generally speaking, people left the ground, I guess, happier with a point than you would have probably expected to be because of the way it finished and because of the atmosphere and the fact it felt like we'd overcome a certain cheating presence in Wolves, which to me, cheating is it too harsh a word? I don't know.
Let's get on to this, actually.
Time management.
Yeah, time management. Loads of people picked out the tactics of Wolves. Paul, Liam, Johnny, Dom, Joe, Chris, Tom, Gary, thank you very much for your comments and your feedback on this. Did you see what's-his-face, Raul Jimenez, justifying his fish-like dive into the air? You see that on Twitter, you see the exchange.
Yeah, somebody, if there's another angle, there's a replay from another angle, you'll definitely see what happened.
Contact.
Which he's saying, probably knowing full well, nobody will find another replay. Oh yeah, the tapes have been destroyed, but the one that they got rid of definitely shows that I was right.
But by the grassy knoll tape, is that that one? Yeah. Dom actually picks out a very
good
point.
There was another gunman.
Thinks Wolves need to hire Rob Price to stop their cramp crisis. I'm not sure putting the Beast and Butcher in there is going to help him, is it? We could strip Jimenez for parts to rebuild for sure.
Not on his faulty head.
No.
I did watch this game back in its entirety, actually, because I was annoyed about several things. And he did cheat, did Jimenez. He admittedly was kicked on occasion, but never hard. And the one he went down with quite early, it was about 10 minutes in when Cooper was going down holding his face. Mm. Like Cooper, he got a bit of forearm somewhere around his cheek.
Do you want me to demonstrate on you again?
But it won't have hurt that much. And then he lay on the floor pretending like he thought maybe his jaw was dislodged. He was going, oh.
Oh, are we doing the looking for the broken bones rather than the blood this time?
Yeah, because it was a side of face impact. So he had to go for the maybe you've shattered
maybe
my jaw.
Dislodged my jaw.
Yeah, rather than the, surely I'm bleeding after that challenge, which is what most footballers do.
Mm.
And then there were a few others as well. There was the click one. There was the Dan James one where, like, these ones where I think he did get the tiniest of touches, but he goes down at the wrong time is his main issue. He waits, like, it's only a fraction of a second, but it really is noticeable when the contact comes and then a dive comes afterwards. And I think because he's such a big unit as well, it just doesn't really work. It's like when Hasselbank used to dive and he looked such a, because he looks like he weighs about 15 stone because he's quite a lump. He just used to thud on the ground. You think, really? I'm not sure I'm not sure. There's no sort of, there's no artistry to it. Like little Dan James, when he goes flying through the air, it sort of looks natural.
Or Geoffrey Gellhart.
Exactly.
Well,
who was ridiculously
a brutal
chopped.
Assault. It was awful, wasn't it?
It was a foul.
Yeah. I think that pause before the referee gave it, though, I think was the referee going, he's made a real meal of that.
But
has he made enough of a meal of it that I need to not give it? Or was there actually a foul there that he's made? Yeah.
There's a split second calculation going in there, which also factors in VAR these days as well. In the fact that if I don't give it and then VAR do, I'm going to look more silly than if I just give it and then VAR overturn it.
If he didn't give it, it'd be interesting to see if VAR did, because from what we've seen this season, they probably wouldn't.
Mm. I will say it did feel like an age in the ground, didn't it?
It really did.
I was like, come on,
do
something. And he went, slow, think, move, hand to face, toot.
He's like, blown the whistle. Is it going to be a yellow card for diving? Yeah. Is it going to be a penalty? Who knows which way?
When you watch it back, you can see the slow motion kind of separates it, because you see there's the shove and the legs coming in, and there's Semedo commits the foul, but there's another player very close to him, and you think, oh yeah, there's a foul. And then on the slow motion, you then see him going, "Way, Joffy." And yeah, that's what sort of nearly backfired on him.
But he took me down.
Well, he did. And it was, it was a penalty. So
I went very high then. Speaking of the referee, we need to segue neatly into the tackle on Rafinha. And I think Rafinha, because he did a bit of a jump into the air when he was caught, ironically, I thought that probably was to his detriment.
So I think he jumped in the air because he'd had his ankle
genuinely had done.
Twatted by the weight of a man's studs on his ankle. Yeah, there were a lot of people were picking up on this, and Saez and the general reaction to it, and the reaction of the referee to it as well, and people saying that, do we not make enough of a fuss, essentially?
Tom from Virginia makes this very point. He said, should Leeds players be more demonstrative?
Yeah, because that's the thing. If you roll around more or stay down, whereas actually Rafinha, he went down holding his ankle, then he just got up and looked pissed off about it.
Yeah.
He didn't seem to actually... I get the feeling if he lays down and rolls around a bit longer without actually getting up, maybe VAR will go, well, he seems to be injured here. Maybe we should go back and watch the tape. Whereas it seems obvious they probably didn't, because,
They say they look at everything.
But they don't. Because the referee gave the yellow card for a handball. I don't even know the rule on this either. Can you have a handball for the yellow card and then another one a yellow for the handball and then a yellow for the kicking of ankle?
I think what should have happened was that VAR should have said, that was a really bad foul, send him off. You can do the old...
Not yellow card. Handball, no.
Cross out.
Ankle, then, yes.
Yeah, and then send him off for that.
And he could have pointed at his ankle, couldn't he, and said, like, ooh, naughty, and wagged his finger, like, and made a real show of it.
I think what stopped our players making a big deal of it and what kind of made the whole situation weird was how difficult it was to spot on the pitch. It took a replay to see that. Like, I'm not even annoyed that the referee didn't see it, because I don't think anybody really knew what the hell was up with Rafinha when he went down. It was a little bit like the Harvey Elliott one in that sense, because after Struyck cleanly won the ball and left him in a heap, play's going on and everyone's like, what's up with him? And then you see on the replay, his ankle's in two different postcodes. And it was the same with this, where he gave the handball and nobody can really work out what's up with Rafinha. And him saying, well, he's just done my ankle, the referee might think, oh, well, this is just a product of anger, you don't really mean it. But that's where whoever's in the VAR tank should have been all over it and say, send the dirty get off.
And from the cop, I didn't see it, I have to say. I mean, it's admittedly a long way from where I'm sat. But when you see the still of it, when you actually see where the ball is when he makes contact with his ankle, it's like meters away, because it's right by his hand at the other end of his body. So like he's missed the ball by such an enormous distance with his foot.
And let's draw the parallels with what happened with Harvey Elliott and the red card that resulted in that incident. Everybody else followed the game, didn't they, with Harvey Elliott? Like, in the same way, the ball was over there. Nobody quite knew what had gone on with Rafinha. Everyone has he taken a dive? Has he actually been caught? Game kind of continued. The handball was given, whatever. And then it was only afterwards, when he hobbled off, everyone went, oh shit, he must have actually caught him. Mm. That sounds bad. And then, they went back and looked at the replays of Harvey Elliott, saw that his leg was hanging on by a mere thread, and he got sent off as a result. So, are we not judging on outcomes anymore? No?
Depends on the week, doesn't it?
It depends on if Klopp's refereeing, as I said the other day.
On the colour of the shirt.
I do think so. I do think they referee things in a more, what's the right word?
Biased.
Yeah, but more intensely is the word I was thinking of.
A more cheaty way.
On the higher profile games, like the televised games, if it's Leeds against Liverpool, I genuinely think there is more I'm going to use the term care, but I mean, from their point of view, they feel like they're exerting more care over that fixture than some of the other just random fixtures. Certainly, because you see such inconsistencies in the refereeing. Loads of people, by the way, singling out the crowd. Kit, Aiden, Ender, Pez, Dom, Gillian and Wayne, thank you, Elliot. From 70 minutes onwards, it was just outstanding, which we mentioned in the match ball. So well done us as well for picking it out.
This was another reason I wanted to watch it back, to work out where exactly...
What was the thing?
It flipped. And I think it kind of built a little bit before then, but there was the... Do you remember the Wolves free kick right on the edge of the box, which was another one where Jimenez went down in instalments? That seemed to really piss everyone off. And from that moment on, everyone was like, nah, fuck it. Into them now.
Yeah.
Let's have them. They're not going to win doing this.
It's that, even if they don't score, sorry, even if they do score now from this free kick, which they won't because it was too close. It's ironic, isn't it, just touching on that for a second, that with that free kick at the edge of the area, I confidently dismissed that as being too close to go in. He won't get that up and over the wall there. But when Rodrigo had a penalty in the last minute, I was convinced that was never going to go in, just to draw the parallels between the two. But yeah, there was kind of a switch at which, yeah, when you get that late in the game and it's kind of, well, it doesn't really matter what happens now. I just need to get my anger out.
Hmm. And that seemed to be the trigger for it. And then obviously when Gellhart started doing his thing as well, because he had a few, before the penalty decision, he had a few little runs, didn't he? And the shot that was really well tipped over the bar. So it all just built, did the atmosphere in the last 20 minutes. And it was good, because like I think I mentioned this in the match ball, that it felt like people didn't quite know what to do for a while. Because everyone was like, oh, we're losing. We're not playing badly. We are losing to Wolves. How should we react to this? And you can go one or two ways, and you can kind of wander out the stadium and sulk, or you can do what we did, which was get pissed off about it, which I think is the best way to go.
We were talking after we'd finished, weren't we, doing the match ball. We were saying how ridiculously juvenile our behaviour had become in that stadium, like some hurling abuse at people and the ref.
And then, you know, they can't hear. But he starts going, fuck off, ref! Fuck off! Fuck off!
Hey, you!
Get him to stand up! What are you doing? Make him take the throw, ref! Fuck him! He's not got cramp! Play on! Get him off the pitch!
Yeah. Yeah. Did it overspill into the studio? That's the question, because a couple of people picked up on the tension between us, Moscow. How will we cope? Argy Bargy and Jack both saying, Argy Bargy in particular says, we obviously have some issues, you and I, Moscow. We need to take it outside, boys, and not on the podcast.
Don't have any issues with you.
No.
Just issues with the shit you constantly talk.
Exactly. That's what it's about. I mean, I gave him a lift home. I mean, we sat in stony silence and I dropped him off 3 miles from home, made him walk. No, I didn't. I dropped him off right by his flat. It's football, innit? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's all fine. But you were bang wrong about Robert, so.
Yeah, but you know, as we were saying, live broadcasting, difficult. You often talk shit, and that's the point.
On that point, it was the... It was pointed out, and I can't find their name now, but it was...
That's because you are incompetent.
That pass out of play in stoppage time that was the issue with Rodrigo's fault.
Right.
And when you watch it back, it's because they were going for a give and go and Rodrigo kind of moves and then stops and Roberts plays the pass. And you can always tell with the players, Rodrigo immediately hands up, apologises, and then gives him a big round of applause, said, you did the right thing, I did the wrong thing.
Sympathy round of applause.
And it's an important point to draw out, because that incident is one that has been, you know, has fed into the whole Roberts' shit hype machine, and it wasn't his fault. So that's one at least we can move into the neutral column. And
which is so desperate to do.
And then
the sigh in your voice then told the story. And we are baiting you on purpose about this.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, people distill the stuff we say here into things that it's not necessarily, you know, it's like, it's not that you're necessarily the biggest fan of Roberts in the world. It's just the same conversation happens all the time. We know what his limitations
with most
are.
With most opinions, there's a huge spectrum of it, which is Roberts is actually really good, which is Moscow's, and then Roberts is League One at best. The truth actually is somewhere in the middle. He's sometimes fine.
Yeah.
He's sometimes not.
Well, when I tried to put it to bed like 2.5 months ago, I said he got his contract. We can go through it again with Roberts. He got his contract in the summer, because buying a replacement for him would cost about 20 million quid, and it's not worth it when we've got Gellhart and Greenwood coming through. So this season, as we said, is...
Does that mean we can sell him for 20 million pounds?
No.
Oh,
but to get some... I mean, we could sign Joe Willock as an equivalent player, and that's 25 million quid. It's the price market. And we don't need to, because Gellhart and Greenwood will spend this season taking his shirt off him. And if they don't manage to do it, it's because Roberts has suddenly blossomed into the player that we'd love him to become, because we could do with a better player. So that's his season. But then I just don't understand the motivation of what a thrilling match the Wolves game was, with so many interesting things to talk about. And we even said afterwards that we hardly mentioned Somerville. And one of the first things and one of the dominant conversations afterwards was Roberts is shit. And it's kind of, you take everything that happened in the Wolves game and all the one Gelhardt being brilliant, the tackle on Rafinha, the way we conceded the goal, was Harrison good enough? Did James play up front? Was that effective? So many different things. And then the one dominant thing that everybody wants to talk about all day, every day, if you look on Twitter, Leeds United can't tweet a thing now without people going, yeah, Roberts is shit though. It's like, and then I get accused of being obsessed with him. It's very strange.
Which you are. He's not. Let's be nice. We don't want to have another fallout.
He'll be gone soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
To the reactions of the Wolves fans now then. And who do we have, Michael? What have you found out there on the internet? Capital T, capital I.
I found Mr. Miami, first of all.
Will Smith?
No.
He's Massimo Cellino.
He paid all of his taxes as this guy, as far as I'm aware. I'm surprised you don't know him, Moscow. He's a TikTok star.
TikTok's a big place.
Oh, okay. I've not been there. But yeah, he's from Miami, as his name suggests, but his mum was from Birmingham and now he's in Wolverhampton as a student. And Wolves have, for some reason, got him doing these Guide 2 videos before away games. So, Leeds is not bad, in fairness, because there's some stuff here, but
it goes to some really nice places.
He goes to, like, Watford and stuff. And
Watford's not a really nice place to go to.
No, but like, when in the Watford one, he goes to Taco Bell and he's looking at a Wetherspoons going, oh, this is pretty cool and stuff. But in Leeds, he went to the stadium, but then he went to the Thackeray Medical Museum and I just kind of liked him. I know it shouldn't really be my thing. And as much as I'd love to hate him, I can't help but find him quite addictive to watch.
I'm between Alice and Thomas. We're going to go for Thomas. Thomas works as a night soil collector. He lives alone. I pick up feces. Now let's pick up some feces, baby. We headed to the Z Street. Now we just headed into the Z Street exhibit. Look at Buddy in the window, though. Now this is a good exhibit. Back in the day, the UK didn't have a really good system for getting rid of waste and stuff like that. So it would get into the meat and stuff like that. Looking over to my left, you see like a exhibit of a butcher. You can see the skin on the floor, the fur is on the floor. You got the meat hanging. It even smells like it in here. Oh my God, what is going on?
The Thackeray Museum of Medicine has some very interesting exhibits. I even jumped on the theater table to see if I could feel any spirits. Then it was time to head out for afternoon tea, baby. I know that's right.
I know that's right is his catchphrase. He says it an awful lot.
See, I'm not quite sure what's going on in that clip there, but I really liked it.
I'd quite happily pay for him to give me a tour of the museum. Now, I'm not sure his knowledge is perfect for
it. He was very enthusiastic about Disease Street, wasn't he?
Yeah, at the start, there's like a wheel at the start where I think you pick a character. I've not actually been, which I should have done really because it's in Leeds, but I think you spin a wheel and then you pick a character and then you kind of learn about them as you go through it.
The feces collector.
So he's the feces collector.
I'm going to Disease Street. It's the M606's Disease Street, as it's known locally. Yeah?
He lives alone, but then he goes for an afternoon tea, which I don't think he's done before, which is also quite charming.
Afternoon tea had me feeling like, is this all for me? I know that's right. I couldn't wait to dive in, baby.
All right, guys, I got me some Yorkshire tea. Let's just try it out. I'm loving this teacup or this teapot. I'm a little teapot, short and stout. This is my handle, this is my spout. Add some milk to that. I don't know how much milk. Ooh, that look like enough. And they got sugar cubes, baby. Nah, I never have, but I guess that's one sugar. Let's see what we got going on, baby. I believe Yorkshire tea is manufactured here. Where it's made remains a mystery, at least to me. That's some good tea. That is some good tea.
I know that's right.
I love the idea that Wolverhampton is so culturally backward that they have to send him out to places like Taco Bell and for a cup of tea. Look at the world out there.
He somehow makes putting a sugar cube in a cup of tea seem exciting, though.
I know, that's right.
It made me think it's a long time since I've used a sugar cube.
Yeah.
Funny that, because I was at the wedding at the weekend, and that's exactly what, you know, they put sugar cubes on your table for the coffee after the dinner, and mm-hmm. I thought I hadn't had a sugar cube in a while, and I'm not a horse.
Because it's a lot of fun to just take them slowly down into the coffee, isn't it? Mm. And watch it rise up.
Consume it.
Into the sugar cube, and then it disintegrates, and then you can stir it. It's quite a meditative
thing. I know, that's right.
Thing. Yes, I was wondering if there's times in this where it sounds like he's got that on like a pre-recorded button. It's like, this tea's bloody, I'm bored now. That cream bun's rubbish. I know, that's right. Christ, what am I doing with my life? Where are they going to send me next? Watford, oh, thank God there's a Taco Bell. I know, that's right. I hate myself.
I know, that's right, baby. Yeah, I quite enjoyed him anyway. Admittedly, when you've heard him say, I know, that's right, a dozen times in the space of 2 minutes, you do start going.
He's gone from being cutesy to Jedward there.
I think
it probably
works on TikTok because that's very short videos.
Yeah.
Whereas what is almost a documentary of 7 minutes in Leeds, it does wear a bit thin. But I enjoyed him all the same.
Yeah, he's very good. And there'll probably be a rush of people going to Thackeray Medical Museum now. You're going to take the twins, aren't you?
Of course I am. It'd be a great day out.
This is Disease Street, boys. This is Disease Street. Go collect some feces.
Going to tell him that the UK didn't have good sewage or something, which is basically as well as he explains it.
I'm a butcher with skin on the floor.
Right. On to Finners then. Tell me about Finners.
Finners, he's a man who's recording live in Elland Road, and he's starting on, he's talking about the atmosphere, and it's the start of the game, and then it's in the last 20 minutes, but he's a bit overwhelmed by it.
Well, they're not used to hearing people doing those.
Seems not.
No.
Yeah, Molyneux is quite quiet.
I drove past Molyneux when I was in Wolverhampton. It's always a thrill to see a football ground, isn't it?
Hmm.
It's always a nice little treat. It didn't look like I expected it to look.
How did you expect it to look?
I always expect football stadiums to be in a big open expanse. I think maybe because Elland Road is in a big open expanse, and yet it's kind of tucked in behind some flats in the university area is Molyneux.
It should have been big. I think we've discussed last year about how the plans to turn it into like the biggest stadium in the world, and it was going to have a roof and frosted windows and all kinds of, like, between the stands and the pitch.
Yeah.
It's going to have glazing and all that kind of stuff, and it never really happened. So in the...
You can have glazing between the stands and the pitch?
Yes.
When was that?
Like, it was a 50s plan. I'm sure there were some
stadium plan, where the referees are in the box over the pitch and all that jazz.
I'm sure there were some stadiums that actually did it and just realised condensation was immediately a big issue.
This is a real problem. None of us can see everything.
And also in the 50s, probably didn't have proper like laminated shatterproof glass either. So occasionally if a hard kick went into the crowd, you would get a shard of glass in your face. But well, you know.
Anyway, back to Finners.
All part of the thrill.
Finners is he's enjoying the atmosphere and enjoying Elland Road after talking about stadiums.
Proper stadium, proper atmosphere. By proper stadium, I mean it looks like it's about to fall down. I'm very scared. But yeah, loud, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yeah. It's good atmosphere.
Atmosphere in here. Oh, the passion, what's the word? It's electric. Just can't, you can't. They don't give you a second. Still 20 minutes left. I can't breathe.
I can't breathe. Good. It's nice to know. I mean, I know that, you know, times are a bit tough for us when we're languishing at the bottom of the Premier League, but it's nice to know that we're well thought of in that regard.
And we've got a bit of something about us, I think. Because you saw that game last night at the Emirates. No one was having a great time there, were they? No away fans are going to come away from there going, oh, what a place. I know Cody Drama seems to enjoy playing there, but no one else ever enjoys it.
Right, so is this the penalty then?
This is him doing the penalty. I mainly like this because you hear a really good roar, and normally you hear this from people filming it in the Leeds end, which means you can normally hear one person more than anyone else going, or something, and it kind of ruins it.
Who do you sit near?
Whereas this, because it's in the away end, you get silence from the people nearby, but you can just hear the full stadium doing it, and it's
look forward to this. Here we go.
Leeds penalty, probably about 3 minutes to go at any time. It did look like a little bit of a penalty. Come on, Star. They scored.
They scored.
Did I hear some bad language in the crowd?
I hope not.
We might need to apologise for. I think just as he was about to take it, there may have been a C-bomb in the background.
That's warmed my cockles as hearing that.
Nice, isn't it?
It wasn't that was being
Notice. I just noticed the passion and volume from the Leeds fans. I did tweet something like this from the Square Ball account. It was somebody up on the gantry, I think, had filmed. It wasn't you, was it, Moscow, on the gantry that filmed this one? That's the gantry gong, sorry.
I think it was LS11.
Yeah.
Filming. Their Jews.
Yeah, so I linked to their media on Twitter, and it's that half second of intake of breath just as he's running up to strike it, because you know you've got to breathe in before you shout no or go yes, and everyone, like 36,000 people or whatever, all went at the same time, and there's just that moment of silence before the ball hits the net, and it was just amazing. I enjoyed that, and you could hear it in that clip, so rewind 30 seconds and you can hear it again. Right, okay, next one.
So Finn, he's back home now, giving his overview of the game, and he still seems to quite like us and be very reasonable about everything.
They need to stop doing this, don't they?
Mm.
Yeah, fair play to Leeds. I thought the atmosphere, their performance was brilliant, and they deserved a point. I hate being sort of nice, but yeah, you've got to say they were. If you could not throw coins at our players, that would be ideal. But you know, you can't have everything. Great away day nonetheless, another one to tick off. But yeah, I hope you enjoy the video.
That was very reasonable of you.
You can't have everything, can you? Yeah.
It's a bit much to ask.
And he kind of, I think he's probably acknowledging, like, yeah, they kind of deserved it. Some of them, those fake cramps, they deserved a bit of stuff thrown at them. Yeah. We're just encouraging them to get up, weren't we?
There should maybe be some kind of exchange system where you can get some soft fruit on your way into the South Stand and throw that instead, so we at least get to take the anger out, but with less of a risk.
I'm just thinking, was it when Luis Figo went from Barcelona to Real Madrid or the other way around and
threw a pig's head at him?
Yeah, and I believe, was it a scooter as well? And most of you threw a moped.
I don't know if I can't.
Keith Stroud had been straight on to clear that off the pitch.
Have you seen, just on Stroud, have you seen there's a petition being launched by QPR fans for Stroud never to to referee their games again, because he's not making any more friends in the football.
It's good
football
to know
league.
He's still popular.
Mid pig's ear of their game. Sorry, you were going to say about the moped.
I don't think I can't remember if it was Figo, but certainly a moped being thrown off the upper tier. It was. I don't think it was on the pitch. I think it was into the lower tier of some fans.
God Christ! Not as funny now.
I remember being at Leeds Festival. I guess it was probably 2000. I think it was the first year I'd ever had been. And Daphne and Celeste played, and someone threw a wheelchair at them.
Oh,
which is great commitment. I would say. I don't know who's it. I don't know if someone. I mean, if someone had been tipped out at first, I guess that's. That makes it a bit more sinister, but I like to think someone was so pissed off they stood up out of it and just wanged it on stage.
I mean, if people get annoyed with me for sticking up for Tyler Roberts, let's not go too far down the Daphne and Celeste angle. One of them was blind in one eye and people are throwing a wheelchair at them for crying out loud. UGLY, you ain't got no alibi.
Right, this guy, Dazzling Dave, the Wolves fan Dazzling Dave. I bet he's fun at parties.
We had him last year. He was the one who described Traore's goal as a thunderstrike.
All right.
But he's outside in the kind of southwest corner, and he's also another Leeds fanboy.
The Premier League, it needs to make bastards of all of us, doesn't it? Everyone needs to be bastards like our fans are. Anyway, let's hear from Dazzling Dave.
I literally just come out the ground, Ellen Road, as you can imagine, and the first thing that I've got to say is it's 1-1, obviously. It's a light goal from Leeds. It's a penalty. But you have to say, in all fairness, being a Wolves fan, I actually think they deserved a point, Leeds. I thought their crowd, actually, it's the best away crowd that I've been to, fans, in terms of their singing, that I've been to any of the games this season. They really got behind their team and spurred their team on. And second half, it was pretty much one-way traffic.
Stop being nice about us. Because if I like to think if that was us, we'd say, diving little prick, about Gellhart and would say they didn't deserve that. I'm glad we shit-housed our way through that game.
I mean, I'm sure if they'd have won, they'd have said, oh, we saw the game out and all this sort of stuff. But, you know, there was generally an acknowledgement that they were kind of lucky. And then I went on to Wolves Fancast, which is a Wolves podcast leaving YouTube, trying to find some sort of annoyance. But not really. This was they were talking about the tackle on Rafinha here, and again, just being incredibly fair about it.
You know, if you were trying to take off your old gold tinted spectacles, could there be a claim for a red card there? Anybody want to be the fall guy on that decision?
It's 100% a red card. I mean, like you, I couldn't understand what all the fuss was about. I thought, well, it's handball. What are you crying for? It looked nothing to me.
Yeah.
Until I've got home and watched Match of the Day half cut last night. And yeah, and you can't be tackling like that in 2021. It's just silly. It might be accidental, but it's reckless and it's a red card. Simple as. I can't believe he didn't even go. Well, I can't because they're completely inept. But the fact that there was no even talk about checking red card from VAR, just completely baffling.
Have we got anything contentious from the Wolves fans? Come on, we need something.
They're mostly annoyed about their own team. That's the thing, because they started the season attacking and then...
The peri-peri Burnley.
But they weren't winning any games, and now they've gone into this thing where they're getting results, but they've gone very defensive and very boring to watch and doing all the things. So I don't think they're necessarily enamoured about the time-wasting and the feigning injuries that was going on, like we've seen from other fans in the past, like when Sheffield Wednesday were doing it to us in the Championship and all their fans were like, that's the best thing we've ever seen.
Which it was.
Well, like Burnley fans really kind of relish it, don't they? It's like, yes, we got away with some should have been red cards and then kept the ball in a corner for 70 minutes. And they're like, yes, that was good day out.
Whereas, do you want Scooter update, by the way?
Yeah.
Before, and I've realised this was 2001, so I don't want to give any...
Scooter, another 2000s music style.
Group. So I don't want to give any of our...
What's your favourite Scooter song?
They did a cover of Ticento by, I can't remember the name of, the name has escaped me, of the original Italian group that performed in the 80s.
There's a really good website, by the way, for looking up music called everyhit.com.
Ticento, T-I, it means I feel you.
I'm now on...
It has a brilliant lyric in it, which when it translates, it goes, I feel you, beautiful undersea statue.
Yeah. I'm looking back at Scooter's first...
Is it Maria Baha?
Well, I've got Move Your Ass, which hit number 23 in October 1995. Rebel Yell, he did a version of that, May 1996. No, just after we'd lost to Villa. Does it not ring any bells in the League Cup final? No. He did I'm Raving later that year. Then he's just left it for a bit then. 6 years later...
Do we know if he's still raving or is
number
he stopped?
Number two, the big hit, The Logical Song.
That was the one, wasn't it? Mattia Bazzar, Ticento, they covered that, I Feel You or I Hear You. And then, yeah, they got the singer back in as the plot of the video is she's performing at an opera and gets shot, even though members of Scooter are acting as like a security team. One of them dives in front of the bullets to try and save her, but he misses in slow motion and it still goes into her anyway. So what you take from this is that if you... let Scooter cover one of your songs and they're like, come and perform it for us, make sure somebody doesn't like want to shoot you because there'll be no help. But the Scooter in question in 2001 was Internazionale supporters stole it from an Atlanta fan outside the San Siro. As this report points out, they smuggled it into the stadium.
How do you smuggle a Scooter in the stadium?
Past the very rigorous security checks, set it on fire... and then threw it from the second tier onto a thankfully empty section of the lower stand, aiming for the pitch. So yeah, it was a burning stolen Scooter.
So you got theft, arson, what, criminal damage? That's quite a lot to go at.
Yeah, but so don't get ideas, anybody who's never heard of that before.
Did you enjoy Scooter's most recent UK chart hit, which you all know is?
Mr. Scooter.
No.
I Am Scooter.
I'll give you a clue so you can
the
see.
Scoot Boys.
No, I'll give you a clue. June 2008. What were you doing in June 2008?
Was the Euros on?
Probably.
I don't know.
What was your point? What were you listening to then in your headphones?
Christ,
was
it Scoot? Doof, doof,
doof. What was it? Jumping.
Jumping scooters.
Jumping all
over the scooters.
Nearly jumping all over the
world.
Yes. Well remembered.
Oh, Okay.
How did it go?
Here we go, jumping all over right. the world.
But probably. Anyway, back to propaganda.
Yeah, Talking Wolves were up to who are. There's a little bit of annoyance in this, which is nice. But the
can we play the mixed up kid? Because I want to know what this kid's mixed up about.
Well, just about his general opinions of what happened in the game and where Wolves' position is, and I don't know. He does have a little bit of hateful ease, which is something.
Is this the folly of youth we're going to hear?
I'd say so.
I hope so.
Yeah, that penalty was just painful because with the quality that we have in our squad and how Bruno wants to play, we should be beating Leeds by about 5 or 6 because Leeds are doing terribly right now. Probably going through a second season syndrome. Bielsa's looking sort of desperate, I guess, because there's the style of play at Leeds is really sporadic. Like, they're playing super narrow. That Gelhardt guy, he really, really, really changed the game around. I have to give props to him because he revived Leeds. And you could make an excuse of, you know, the atmosphere of Leeds because, you know, the atmosphere is pretty good, like egging them on, but so was ours. Yeah. I can see why everyone hates Leeds now. I remember when Cody got smacked with the ball, like it was Rodrigo who had a shot and Cody went down because he hit his head. And then everyone's booing Cody for being down. Like, come on.
And that's why everyone hates Leeds, because we were booing their player who cheated to stop an attack.
I wasn't listening to any of that. What film was he watching? As you hear in the background, he's got a film on the telly. I was trying to work out what it was. I didn't pay any attention to his whatever he was saying.
We play Super Narrow, apparently.
Isn't that a Nintendo game?
Very good.
Possibly.
There was a lot of... I know it's just stream of consciousness when you kind of do these things, but there was a lot to go at in that. Too much for me.
Just drifting about. And I don't know where he comes to the opinion that they should be beating us 5 or 6-0.
Yeah, no. Or Bielsa indeed looking desperate. I mean, he looks like a man who's facing challenges at the minute, but that's what football's about, isn't it?
Anyway, they were mainly very reasonable. So, but this is, as I said, this was like a compilation of clips, and it goes from one person who is kind of being fairly philosophical about it, accepting maybe draws a fair result into someone who's very angry, which is nice.
Probably say karma's come and got us a little bit, but yeah, not the end of the world.
For 45 fucking minutes, we were holding back, trying to contain a Leeds team which is so good at attacking. Who'd have thought we concede a last-minute goal? It's written in the stars. It's just frustrating more than anything.
And on the same channel is the lad who's saying they should have beaten us by 5 or 6, yet the other one's saying...
I mean, they're all separate people, in fairness. They don't have, like... They don't speak with one voice. I don't think there is, like...
No coherence.
There's not a sort of narrative direction.
One wolf howls and the others all answer. Right. Yeah, there's that, I think... And it does fit. The guy who was angry is angry about them not trying to beat us 5 or 6-0. And I think the other one is probably saying the same, that they are capable, in his mind, his crazy, messed up mind, of beating us 5 or 6-0 if they weren't doing this sudden... defensive stuff that they're all mad about.
Right, let's go into the wider world of propaganda now then, which is where we look at all the other stuff that's been said around the internet.
Were there any other games this weekend?
Oh, may have been.
Anything else to enjoy?
Who are we picking on now then?
Well, it's from the kickoff again, which was a guy we went to last week, Adam McCullough, who, if the setup they have for the kickoff is a lot of people around the table watching the games.
It's one of the true Geordie shows, isn't it?
I think they've got several screens on the go, but he is the only Man United fan here. He's with a Liverpool fan and Chelsea fan.
Idiot Rory is there.
But fair play to the guy who was just winding him up here. This is after Pogba has just been sent off, and he's playing it. I think it's the Liverpool fan, the guy who's sort of taking the piss, and he's doing it with such an understatement, in such an understated way, that it's just beautiful.
Pogba should have started anywhere, you fucking dick.
Maybe not, he only lasted 15 minutes.
Yeah. Did come on to stabilise things at halftime. To be fair, he did stabilise his own foot underneath Diego.
That was that a red... Come on, bro. How is that?
No, it wasn't.
His second foot was under Cater's foot.
No, but you can't blame me for having done with this.
Look, do what the fuck you want. I don't care, but that's never a red card, bro.
But it is in this scenario, because he has just been sent off.
That's great.
But it is because...
I mean, but he has been sent off, don't you? So you've got to say yes.
We should say we had loads of requests for... You know, Johnny United, who's the kid from Bradford, who was very, very angry, was the other week, wasn't it? And he's very all out. He's in that camp. And he's the one who signs off all his videos. After he'll immediately like go from... All right, then don't forget to like and subscribe, guys. See you later.
Have a nice day. Yeah, anyway, he didn't seem to have done anything. He did some live Twitter stuff. I can't remember what it's called now, where you do the audio. So I did try and listen in to some of those, but there were loads of other people talking, and he wasn't just shouting over them, which kind of ruined it, because that's what
that's
I
want. That's what you want,
isn't it? He was actually quite enjoying this weekend when I looked at his Twitter timeline, because loads of people were saying, oh, actually, do you know what, mate?
It proves his point,
you were kind of right. And he was like, I know I'm right! I could imagine him just yelling at him.
Oh, he's all right, thanks, guys. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Anyway, okay, who have we got then? Webby and O'Neill.
Webby, yeah.
All right, oh yeah, it's like the Churchill dog, wasn't it? Was Webby and O'Neill? Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. 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 One of them will make a point, and they'll all go.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Webby goes, yeah, and O'Neill talks. But this is Webby, and he's taking it well.
It was an absolute disgraceful performance. Tony, I don't think this bad felt this bad when my old man passed away.
It's quite a claim.
Wow. Oh wow. That is yeah.
They really don't like Liverpool, do they?
No. No, I mean, I understand, like, you know, my dislike of Liverpool went up a lot when they beat us and all the fallout from Klopp being on the pitch and Elliot and all that. But when it came to this game on Sunday, it's just orders of magnitude.
Big Liverpool
it?
Fan.
Yeah. I was like, they're all right. Fair enough. You know, they've made them look foolish.
Although the one, I think they may have a villain nomination that we'll be discussing in the next pod, but they were a bit annoying that they didn't make it 10.
Yeah.
I feel a little bit let down by Liverpool. So maybe that's a good thing that... We can come away hating both teams.
Yeah.
One for...
It's very distracting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Carry on.
No, I can't. I don't have...
I can't.
I don't have his fortitude. Yeah. I can't just carry on while somebody's... Yeah, in the background.
Well, then what else have we got?
This is Webby just elaborating on how bad it was. But I just enjoyed several things in this.
With Manchester United Football Club, you don't have to deserve right to win any game of football, but you've got to deserve right to fight your arse and your balls off for those supporters in that club. And it's Liverpool at home, the most station enemy, and you've thrown up a performance like that. It's an absolute disgrace, and those players want to go home now or refund all those people who've been in that ground today. You know what I mean? There's people still in there, and they say, don't get me wrong, Joe, a lot of people left. That's their prerogative, fair enough. But there's still people singing on 80, 90 minutes there. They don't deserve that. I just met two kids in the lift from New York. New York City. It's not the other side of Salford. It's New York City. They've gone to bed.
Great.
They've gone to bed.
That's how bad it was. Come from New York, they've just gone to bed. That's amazing.
I think players need to go home or refund them, fight the balls off their ass off, whatever it was. That's how bad it was. Because they recalled this in the, I can't remember what it's called, the Scum Hotel.
I think that's what it's called.
Those wrong ones all own.
Hotel football, of all things.
Yes. So they record in.
They've gone to bed.
Hotel football.
Are they supposed to refund the entire trip? It's like Man United lost 5-0 to Liverpool. Admittedly, we had a day out at Tatton Park and it was very nice. The deer were beautiful. The house was great. But we still want the flights refunded.
And they had a month-long pass on the subway. So you got to divide up the cost of that by 30 for that day's trip. Yeah. Demand it. Demand it back, New York City fans.
Otherwise, they're just going to bed.
Right. And we've got...
Do you think as well, I'm fascinated by these two. If they're shown a room and you're that bored.
Joey and Chandler,
annoyed by the game. Are they both just like lying face down on single beds in a hotel room, just in silence? Because
I believe Gary Neville must pipe his own voice around that hotel.
I wonder if what's happened here is Webby's gone, I'll take you out for a drink, lads. And they've gone, oh, no, we're actually going to bed.
Time difference has really done us in. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Oh, well, I'll have that good drink. Oh, right. That good drink.
Because I know they say like a problem shared is a problem half, but I don't think traveling halfway around the world to watch my favourite team lose 5-0, and then can you imagine then thinking, I'm just going to go back to the hotel and just like lie down for a while? But I don't think that would be, I would feel like I was getting over it if there was somebody else just next to me on another bed in the room doing exactly the same thing, just a pair of you, just like
a cell of sadness.
Misery doesn't need that kind of company. It's just it's a little bit too, he's still upset.
Yeah.
Although, yeah, I mean, I suppose. Yeah. the idea that Webby and O'Neill are like the Eric and Ernie of Man United fans.
Go on then. Right, United view.
This is a man who, I mean, people talk about the levels of entitlement sometimes with Man United fans. This guy seems to have an opinion that they could have just not bothered.
I mean, you were right, by the way. You've said in previous weeks, there's kind of a "we're Manchester United" vibe about a lot of this.
Manchester United football
club. And then that is, so we've got no divine right to win, but we are Manchester United.
It's interesting with Webby that he kind of went in a completely different direction from where that usually goes. It's normally, "we're Manchester United, we expect to win." And he's like, we don't have any divine right. We've got a divine right to arse and balls.
Yeah. Right then, let's say this.
15 minutes in, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then what's the point coming? Second half? What was the point in sending us out? Don't set Ole, just void the game. Let's settle for a 3-0 defeat and refuse to send him out. What was the point in sending us out? What was the point?
What was it? 4-0 at half-time, wasn't it?
4-0.
And you're thinking this.
Take a 3-0 void. We don't come out. We refuse to play and it goes down as 3-0. No, it goes down as 5. And we're like, oh, God. There was no point in us coming out.
I don't think you can do that, can you? I mean, if you don't play the second half, the sanctions would be massive. It's not just that, well,
they'd
never
be picking
mind,
on
lads.
Them, though. Yeah. They're picking on us. We didn't want to play the second half. We don't have to.
I do have a crumb of understanding for the just what is the least worst way we can get out of this.
Yeah, but you can't just not accept a defeat bigger than 3-0. You can't just go, well, I'll tell you what, we'll call it 3-0.
Yeah, if they end up staying up on goal difference, then the questions would be asked. From it would be the Carlos Tevez thing. Warnock, the ghost of Warnock, would be coming looming back at them.
Just imagine it was cutting back to the Sky studio as well, and Dave Jones is sat there going, well, Manchester United, they've opted not to play the second half.
Yeah, and the idea that that's somehow a less worse scenario, because the repercussions of that would be much, much worse than...
You'd have points deductions.
I don't know. It would be, and even then, like what they're going to say about, I know, Solskjaer, to my mind, looked hilarious throughout the second half. But what are the likes of Webby and O'Neill going to say if their manager is what we need is arse and balls and fight? Whereas Solskjaer's just like, we're not going to play the second half. Actually, we're just going to go and get changed and go home. That doesn't work. Nobody's going to be happy about that happening apart from
Solskjaer's
this weirdo going like, oh, well, at least we only lost 3-0 and a 10-points deduction.
I like how Solskjaer's become a slightly posh butler.
Yeah, that's not how he sounds.
Jeeves and Worcester or something.
The guy who's actually...
explain to somebody, if somebody who'd never heard Ole Gunnar Solskjaer speak, what is that voice? Because I know there was the Jan Mobley thing in the 80s where he adopted a Scouse accent. But Solskjaer doesn't even have a Manc accent. It's just weird.
I think it was Jack Calvert I saw on Twitter describing him as sounding like a Russian who lives in Barnsley.
Yeah.
Which is a fair... When he says, the club. There's something jab at the club. It's just very odd the way...
There are hints. It strays between Norwegian and then Manc, which actually comes out as something completely different, doesn't it? It's like someone's put all the ingredients into the cauldron and stirred it, and that's what's come out, yeah.
The bloke who wanted this game to just not happen in the second half, I'm pretty sure just before this, they speak to his daughter, who is about 7 or 8 years old and infinitely more knowledgeable and sensible about this. I've not included her because she's not actually funny enough. She just seems like...
Better than most of the pundits on telly.
Just seems fine, to be honest. She's just like, it's kind of...
pressing triggers. Like, Greenwood just wasn't responding, and McTominay never catches
that. I love the shape out of possession.
But instead we get a dad who wants to go for half-time and then...
Just don't play.
And then this is his second bit of his plan.
The passion's gone. That's Liverpool there. There was no 50-50
crunching into tackle. There was nothing.
There was nothing from a big... 2-4 tackle, let's go for it, let's get the crowd.
It was a bad tackle when he got sent off, but...
I didn't see it, but when you go to VAR, you can't see it.
But I mean, that's the only kind of get in there do you know what I mean?
Fight. It's pointless doing that 5-0, do that in the first minute.
So get sent off in the first minute.
Yeah, get a man sent off first minute.
Yeah,
I love how
he realises his point has kind of got away from him because that's what happened and he got sent off. And it's like, yeah, but just do it better.
To be fair to Pogba, he didn't wait, did he? No, he was pretty quick after coming on. Make sure he got off again. And what's he saying? That's the only one. I mean, Fernandez should have gone as well. And Ronaldo before half time. I don't know how you don't get sent off for what he was up to. So he's got everything he wants. A bunch of petulant wankers kicking lumps out of the other team because they're losing, just dropping short of sulking in their hotel room because it's not fair at half time, while the children of these sorry people are left to pick up the pieces and try to go, well, all right, if you're going to go to your room and cry, Daddy, don't forget you've got work in the morning. So try and sort yourself out before then. I'll get my own tea. I'll hoover up. It's all right.
I'm reading Inverting the Pyramid. I'll do my own bedtime story. It's fine. Don't worry. I was just going to say, I know we've got our own problems at the minute. Every football club does, or, you know, feels like the world's against you and all that. But isn't it just nice just to enjoy what's happening to them and the entitlement that underpins it? And the fact that they've hit that ridiculous sweet spot. We were saying this on the match ball last night. They've kind of hit this sweet spot of he always does just enough to stay in the job, the Solskjaer, just enough, but never enough to take them where they need to be.
Nothing lasts forever, does it? They had a good run, and now they're kind of doing what Liverpool did, aren't they? When they won everything for ages, and then their bad spell was still mainly finishing like sixth, third, fourth, whatever. But it was never quite good enough for him, was it? So just enjoy this for the next 20 years. It's fine.
Let's hope so. That wraps up this week's episode of Propaganda in Two Halves. The Leeds fan feedback is the first half of it. If you haven't watched or listened to that, go over a check out of that. And we will do more propaganda after Norwich. So that'll be next week. We'll obviously have the match ball after the game and all that. And watch out for the weekly show coming your way where we'll look through the Leeds United news, pick heroes and villains.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Preview the Norwich game, and we'll see you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.